Hey guys, it's Jeff, and before we get into this episode, I just quickly want to remind everyone that this is about a book called Getting Things Done by David Allen, and this episode, it's not necessarily a review episode where we go in depth of what this book is all about. We kind of just talk about our feelings on it, and we hope that you enjoy it, but we think that you'll enjoy it even more if you've read the book and kind of understand some of the terminology and some of the things that we talk about in this episode, because you know, you might not necessarily understand everything. So if you haven't read the book yet and you want to get the full experience of this episode, read the book Getting Things Done by David Allen first, and then come back to this episode. And if you finish it up before the next episode comes out, we have a very special guest that you can dive right into if you do finish reading this book. So you can get a hold of it in the links in the description of this episode or over at aslaboglass.com, and you can kind of find a way to get access to this book, whether it's at a local library, an audiobook from Scribd or Audible or whatever. You can get a copy of it and read it or listen to it and come back to this episode when you're done. Okay, thanks.
Hey, what's going on?
So far, so good, Chris. How are you? What's going on with you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So the last time we talked, we said this episode would have a special guest, but we had a bit of a scheduling conflict, so that is going to be next episode. This episode, though, we still are going to talk about getting things done. I think we just, there's a lot to say. I know I have a lot to say about it, and I don't know if I could have gotten it out in one podcast episode with a guest, just because I think there's a lot to say. So in this episode, Jeff and I are going to talk about our thoughts on the book, and then in the next episode, we are going to interview somebody that knows it a bit better than us, and kind of they can tell us what we were doing wrong, basically. Because I have a feeling we're going to walk away from this episode, and Jeff might be mad at me.
Oh, come on.
I don't think you're going to be that mad at me, but I think you're going to be a little mad at me.
Okay. I guess, do you want me to give like my overview idea on it, and then we can go from there? Or do you want to just pull the Band-Aid off right now and tell me your feelings on it?
I don't want to assume everyone's read the book. So let's do this. Why don't you kind of give a elevator pitch of what Getting Things Done is?
Okay. So David Allen wrote a book called Getting Things Done back in 2001, which is basically a book about what it sounds like, getting things done. But it's much more than that. And by that means it's a methodology to handle all of these different inputs and these different things and these different hats that you wear in life, and basically externalize your brain, as David says, and put it into a trusted system that you can use later to help you decide on the things that you need to get done and handle the things that will, you know, explode if you don't get them done at a certain time, and also things that you want to do that don't necessarily have a time for have a time frame, but are important to you in your life that you want to do them at some point. And getting things done is basically, it is a way for you to take this methodology and this system and put it into your own use. Is that, did I feel like I rambled with that, but does that make sense?
Let me give my, quick elevator pitch. There's basically five big tenets, and I didn't write them down in the right order. So what are they, Jeff, really quickly?
Yeah, it's capture, clarify, organize, reflect, and engage.
This whole book is incredibly businessy. And you know what? I'll just tip my hand right here. This book is not meant for somebody like me. Like 100%, it's not meant for somebody like me. But I did get some very interesting stuff out of it. Basically, some ideas are you take everything that's in your head, pieces of paper, post-it notes, whatever's going on around you, you take it and you capture it. You put it in your task manager, you write it in a notebook, you put everything in one place. With me so far?
Yes.
Then after that, you process all that stuff and you organize it. So you put it in groups and actions and stuff like this. And Jeff and I are going to do, and it's not going to come out alongside this episode, but Jeff and I are both going to do he's going to do a blog post. I'll do a video of how we organize our task managers. We're still good for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll just take some time. And I want to do it after we have our guest on next episode. So that will be, it'll be after that.
Yeah, so you'll kind of be able to see how we organize, because I think this is a very visual thing, and I think visually seeing it kind of helps. After that, so once you organize everything, once you have everything where you need to go, you can start doing tasks. And the idea is if a task takes less than 2 minutes, do it right then and there. Just get it done, get it out of the way, cross it off your list. If it takes more than that, this is when you create a project. And I kind of have, I don't like that they use the word project because it's not really a project. Like he calls getting your oil changed in your car a project. And I can see the argument for that, oh, you need to find a place to take your car to get an oil change. You need to make an appointment. You need to drive your car over there. You need to drop it off. You need to find something to do while it's getting the oil changed. Okay, I can kind of see that. To me, that's just like steps. That's steps for a task. That's not really necessarily a project. To me, a project would be me working on my next video or me recording this podcast, something like that. That seems like a project to me, something that there's going to be a lot of work that I have to do going into it. Me finding a place to get my oil changed for my car, that's not really a lot of work. And then the last big thing is review. And that's that you're constantly going through your task manager. And he recommends once a week or something like that just to kind of see what's going on. And we'll talk more about organizing and stuff in just a bit. But the way you organize your stuff, you should be going through your checklist and your task manager once a week or more and kind of seeing what's going on and just keeping everything kind of in the back of your head and be like, okay, can I get to this week? Nope. Okay. This goes in the someday maybe list. And we'll talk more about that in just a bit. But is that kind of a good pitch? Is that kind of a good summary of what getting things done is?
There's a couple of videos I found online. Like I went beyond this book when we were preparing for this. And there's a couple of videos online that I could link to in the show notes. There's one that like David Allen gives you the 30-second pitch of getting things done and kind of goes in depth of pretty much everything that we said. And I think that's a good way to get people interested in it. But there's a lot more to this, and I never really understood why so many people were like, you just need to read the book to understand getting things done. You need to read the book. And I, for whatever reason, just was really put off on the fact of having to read this book a while ago when I first wanted to start getting into this system. And I decided to just try and find as many videos that kind of summarize getting things done as much as possible. But, and this is kind of showing my hand a little bit, but like, honestly, I feel like you need to read this book to completely understand where David Allen is coming from with this, and hearing it from a secondary source just won't work anymore. After reading this book, I know that this is the reason why everyone says you need to read the book. It's because he gives us ideas and methodology a very succinct and direct way for you to use this system in a way that many other people either overlook or fail to do as well.
Yeah, I agree with that you definitely, like, if you're interested in this, you should start by reading the book. And then there is a lot of ancillary stuff. So about half the book I found to be really interesting and really helpful. Then the other half I found to be very business speak. And I had a hard time. So I did so I haven't told you this part. So I listened to the audiobook. I bought the book. I listened to like the 5-part Back to Work series with Merlin Mann and Dan Benjamin. And there was a Do By Friday episode I listened to. There's a couple of videos I found that I watched. So I wanted to give this methodology every possible chance. And the book was kind of the hardest part for me to get through because of the business speak. I mean, at one point he starts talking about summering in Tuscany and moving to Europe. And I'm like, I don't relate with this dude at all. Like he is,
right.
And it's very clear that this book is meant for CEOs, C-level executives, CFO, CIO, COOs, people like that. It's not meant for creatives. And I think somebody, there's a couple of good Medium posts just sitting right out there if somebody wanted to write them for getting things done for creative people, because this was not meant for somebody like you or me. And it's clear, and that's okay. That's fine. But I could do with a book half this size and just give me the technical jargon. Give me like what needs to be done. I don't care about you summering in Tuscany. I don't care about you working with Fortune 500 CEOs, things like that. Like David Allen is one of those people that likes to name drop without actually dropping names. And it kind of got really eye-rolly for me after a while. And that's kind of what started turning me off from the whole thing. I had a really hard time focusing on the book when that part would come up. And hopefully that's fair, but I couldn't do it.
Your points are valid, but I think I had a way easier time kind of looking past that than you might have. Because like, maybe it's because I'm just very much used to those kind of things in like the self-help kind of books where they bring up things that have like nothing to do with where I am in my life comparatively. But it was really easy for me to kind of overlook the business speak of things and just kind of take the technical stuff and the actionable items and the things that I can take with me that aren't specifically related to the C-level employee, CFO, CEO, as you said. That was really easy for me to kind of overlook and get past without any real big issue. Mm-hmm. Because I was so ingrained in like, okay, I understand that this can work with CEOs and CFOs, but I already know a bunch of people on the internet that I regularly follow and enjoy their work that manage to use GTD in a way that allows them to have such a creative lifestyle. And I already know that this isn't just for business people because it's being used by many other people that aren't necessarily CEOs, CFOs, and COOs, you know? And knowing that they are using that system in some form or fashion allows me to kind of look past this business sector of things and to really just hone in on the things that I can do for my life and kind of conform this book into the things that I can do with my life and use the tools that is given in this book in a way that works with me, you know, like that was why it was so easy for me to kind of overlook that. But I can understand your point on people being, and you and others being upset about this book because it is so directed at CEOs and C-level employees that it can be kind of cumbersome at times.
So my big thing against like productivity books and like life hack blogs and stuff like that is I always knew I wanted to start some project like the Untitled Site. I always knew I wanted to do something like that. But I always thought I need all my life hacks and productivity stuff in order before I could ever do some big project. Like if I tried to do it before I read every life hacker blog, I would just fail kind of thing. And I wasted years doing that stuff. I wasted years on finding the best cable management tools, finding the best software so I could do something. And I was never actually doing anything. I would just sit at a computer, download software, and play with it. Like I wasted a ton of time on that. So I always get very, very wary when somebody comes to me and says, this book will change your life. It'll teach you the right way to work. And I'm like, no, I know the right way to work. I do it now. I sit down and I do my work. That's the right way to work. And maybe I'm just different. Maybe I have the ability to, I'm a workaholic. So I know I just always want to be working, whether that's, you know, at my day job or doing my side hustle or whatever. So I'm just kind of wary of that. And honestly, when we get into this, I want to put a big disclaimer on this. You don't have to use the apps that some big productivity person on the internet tells you you have to use in order to be productive. Find what works for you. Because, Jeff, you like OmniFocus. I don't like OmniFocus. When I open OmniFocus, it feels very overwhelming. There's too many buttons. Even after reading this book, I went back and reopened it. And I'm just like, I have no idea what any of this stuff is. I can't deal with it. I open things. It's very simple. It's very calming. It's nice to look at. And I feel okay working in things. But you don't have to use things. You don't have to use OmniFocus to be productive. So don't feel like you have to waste time getting all these apps in order to do your work. I don't know. Hopefully that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of a quote that I actually highlighted in my book of about these kind of things. And it is in the section of organizing, but let me just read the quote and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. How you decide to group your projects is not nearly as critical as ensuring that your inventory is complete, current, and assessed successfully to get it off your mind. No matter how you organize it now, you will very likely change your structure as you get more experience using your system and as the nature of your focus shifts in work and life. this was specifically about like starting your system and creating your system and how you organize things in your GTD system, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. But it reminds me more along the lines of just start, because you're going to change things no matter what anyway. And I think that that goes on. And I don't think this was David Allen's intent, but this is it's a good quote to kind of follow up with what you're saying, is that no matter how you start things, you're probably going to change those things later on. But you can't change things until you start them. And whether it's a blog or whatever that you want to get started on using, you need to start doing that. Whether it's a new task management system or something that you want to start using, just start using it. Or if you want to just get organized, use the tools that you already have. And then if you decide that this tool isn't working the way that I want it to, then go on and do something else. But don't just get a new shiny object just to get things started, you know, like – And there was an email I got from David Allen that kind of contradicts this a little bit, but I still stand firm on this idea of like use the tools that you have and then work your way out if you need to. But David Allen talks about like where should you start, and his answer is pretty much anywhere. You could start with clarifying your mind. You could start with emptying out a drawer. You can start with cleaning out your room. You could start with whatever, and kind of just start working on emptying your mind of all these ideas and things that you want to get done. But one thing he also mentioned in that email of getting started is buy something new, whether it's a new fancy pen or a new nice notepad or whatever. I don't think a new task management system was in that list that he gave specifically, only because I think that would be devastating to people that are trying to use that, you know, like I think it's like trying to learn how to play hockey as well as starting in the NHL, you know, like you're putting the cart before the horse.
The biggest thing in GTD is capture everything. I'd say this is probably the biggest tenet. They kind of all go together and you kind of have to do all of them. But I would say this is the most important one. If you're going to just do one or start someplace, this is absolutely the most important thing. And I didn't have a ton to capture. I was pretty good about keeping big stuff in my task manager. You know, hey, you know, you need to get an oil change in 3 months. So, you know, I have a reoccurring reminder every 3 months or 4 months or whatever it is to get an oil change. I had a good job of that. But what I wasn't doing is small things. Like, there was a lot of small things like, oh, I need to get milk from the store. Oh, I need to go to the grocery store. Oh, I need to do whatever. Like, really small things that just I needed to remember to do that I wasn't putting in my task manager. And this has kind of drilled it into my brain that, yeah, okay, I need to do something. Okay, that immediately goes into my task manager.
Okay.
I've also stopped relying on apps like Fantastical and stuff like that. Like everything, calendar appointments and everything goes in things. So I can kind of see where everything is. He also says keep treat your calendar like sacred territory. And I sort of agree with this, but I also don't. He's like, this is for appointments and things that have to be done that day. But you know what? Sometimes I just want a reminder. I want a push notification reminder. And this is kind of where the not super heavy on computer and apps and things like that of this book comes in, is he doesn't ever really talk about notifications or badges or anything like that. Like kind of the stuff like us techie people want to deal with. So like I put a lot of stuff in the calendar portion of things because I, at a certain point, I want a push notification to remind me. So like if I'm leaving work and I need to do something right after work, I will put something in my calendar at 4:30. So as I'm walking out of the door at work, it reminds me, hey, you need to go do X. So it's not necessarily something that has to be done that day. It's not necessarily something that has to be done at that time. But I just want a reminder so that it's not – because, you know, at the end of the day, you're leaving. You just want to get home, or, like, you're not really thinking straight, or you're not really just – you got a lot on your mind. The last thing I'm going to do is remember to open up things and go, okay, what's the next thing on my list to do?
I want to kind of expand on a couple of things that you mentioned there. One of them being of like putting down everything. Like I am the kind of person that will put down the items I need to buy at my grocery store in my task management list, and then use what David Allen calls a context, or what OmniFocus now has is tags. And I'll put tags in for like errand grocery store or just grocery store and a few other things here and there. And I will make that a item in my task management system, because I know if I don't do that, I am going to forget about them. I don't need a notification for it. Like I will, I'm starting to get into the habit of like when I get to these places and things like that, I will look at my projects and my tasks for that specific area. Like if I have things for work, I only look at the things that are work specific. If I'm doing things in my office, I only look at things office specific. If I'm going out and about and doing grocery shopping, I only look at the stuff in the grocery store. So I am the kind of person that is putting everything in my mind into a task management system because that is what works for me. But you know, I don't want to tell people what they should and shouldn't do, but I feel like if you're not doing that, you may find yourself falling through a trapdoor because you're still expecting yourself to kind of use certain things in your head to remember things. Like, yeah, go to the grocery store and get groceries is a great task on your list, but if you don't have the things that you need to get in the grocery store, you're using mental capacity that you don't necessarily need to spend time on and making decisions last second that you could have already made for yourself later of like, yeah, I need to get chicken breast for dinner tonight and I need to get carrots and I need to get rice and like whatever you want in your grocery store, it's already there for you. So you don't really have to think about it. You can just spend more time doing and less time thinking about those kind of things. But another point that you mentioned with this was when you use your calendar, I am of the opinion that the only things I put on my calendar are things that are either appointments or things that I have to be at or things that I have to do at a very specific time. Otherwise, the world explodes and someone's going to get upset with me. Things like I had to go help my family move. I had to help a family member move, and I needed to be at that place at a certain time, and I put that in my calendar. Work is on my calendar because if I don't show up to work at this certain time, I'm going to get in trouble. Things like this podcast go on my calendar where we record. I have that in my time frame because I know I need to be at my computer at this time so that we can record. Otherwise, you're going to be upset with me, and we might not get an episode out on time. Things like that go on my calendar. It's still very sacred to me. I don't put notifications or reminders or anything else in my calendar like that. That will all go into my task management system, OmniFocus. And if I need a notification, whether it's me showing up at a specific location, which OmniFocus has, or a specific time that I want to get notified, I will have that show up on my phone and iPad, and I will have that there for use when I need it. But the calendar is to me like a very sacred place and things that I'm only going to put things on that I have to be at them in certain times. And that goes in, I use that for my review, which we'll talk more about later. But like those are two things that I do a little bit differently than you. I'm not saying your way is better or worse than mine. And I'm not saying my way is better or worse than yours. It's just two different thoughts and have taken from the system and use in our lives.
Then let's talk about the next part. The next part is organizing. So we need to, you basically take, after you capture everything, and for me, I capture everything into my inbox. So I have a shortcut that runs and I can just type whatever a task in is and it just goes in my inbox and it's just there. It's fantastic. Great. I also have a couple other shortcuts to do something. You mentioned you added stuff to your shopping list. I have that one too. I have a shortcut that basically I can just type in what I want. So say it's like butter. I just type in butter and it just adds it to a project called shopping list, right in things. It's good to go. It's completely separate. So I won't ever see anything like that in inbox because you can't do butter just in your everyday. Right? Like, yeah.
You're right. Yeah. It's totally, it makes sense. But that was just kind of tickling to me.
But so once you capture everything, you have to organize it. And they call it your next action steps. And basically, you break it down into, I guess, areas. The things term would be projects. You would break it down into a project, and then each task in that project has a checklist. So we can go back to the get oil change. I would just write get oil or get oil change in my shortcut. It would add it to the inbox. Then once we're processing everything, I would probably go in. I would go into the checklist feature in my task. So basically you tap on the task, then you can add checklists of the steps you need to do to complete said task. So in the getting things done case, it would be find place to get oil change, make appointment, drop car off, figure out something to do, pick up car. Then, you know, the task is done. And then you would repeat that in 6 months, however long it takes to get your oil change. So you have that there, and then you would put that in your next action steps. And so for me, let me pull up things here really quick. So for my next actions areas, I have a few. I have personal, home, untitled site, so stuff for my website, video projects, a slab of glass, day job, read and review. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is how I kind of break up the categories of stuff to do. That way I can kind of have the right context for what I'm working on.
Right.
And we can talk about context in a bit, but does that all kind of make sense? Did I describe that the right way?
Yeah, a little bit here and there, but like one thing that we're kind of overlooking when we talk about organizing is that clarifying is the second step and organizing is the third step, which it's kind of like splitting hairs a little bit, but I think it's very important to kind of have the two separate from one another at this point, because organizing is basically putting the things where they need to go in the buckets that they need to be in. But before you really do that, like everything you put in your inbox might not be a good idea, and it might not be something that you actually want to do. The whole point of capturing things in your mind isn't to be like, oh, I need to do this, so therefore I'm going to put it in my task management system. It's, I have an idea. I don't want to forget about this idea. I'm going to put it somewhere that I trust in a trusted system, whether it be Things or OmniFocus or a piece of paper or a notebook that you carry with you. It doesn't really matter the tool in which that you use, so long as you trust it. But you have to kind of capture everything in your mind in order for this thing to work. And then once you clarify it and go in and start processing the things that are in your inbox and putting them into the buckets that you feel they need to be, which is organizing. Otherwise, you're just going to have a lot of cruft and a lot of things that are going to gum up your works because you don't have the ability, you haven't used the ability of clarifying and organizing things in that order, you know? But yeah, like what you're saying does make sense to me in this regard, but I just kind of wanted to harp on that for a quick second. But yeah, that makes sense so far, Chris.
Yeah, and you know, maybe I need to go back and read the book another time too.
Which is something that is like totally acceptable because like it's said in the this is like the one thing that like really bugged me about this until I read the book, but it's said that in 3 to 6 months you should read this book again. And you'll get new things out of it. And from what I've discerned from other people that have read this book multiple times, it's totally true. Like the first read, you kind of just understand the system. The second read, you kind of understand a higher level of what this book is trying to tell you. And then the third read and fourth read, it's even higher and higher. And you already know the system because you've been using it. And now you're just kind of looking for the higher level thoughts and process that that this book offers as well. And maybe that is something that might help you out is to reread this book and kind of now that you understand what getting things done is from a ground level, maybe you can go to the next floor and kind of look from above down.
Maybe we need to like revisit this in 6 months. Maybe we need to revisit it in April or something. Okay. And that and just kind of keep going on it. I don't know. I think my biggest thing was I wasn't expecting it to be as businessy as it is. Looking at the mm-hmm. people who have talked about it and read it and stuff like that, I was very surprised how businessy it is. And I think that was a huge turnoff for me. So I kind of mm-hmm. was like, okay, give me like the basics to it and then I'll figure it out on my own kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably a big no-no. I probably shouldn't have done it that way. In fact, maybe what I'll do is I'll reread it this week before we record our episode with our special guest. But mm-hmm. I just had a hard time with it. I had a hard time just wanting to just fully accept it because I'm like, you know what? I work a lot. I know what I need to do. I don't need somebody coming along. And you and I have talked about this a lot. You've been trying to get me to read this book for a while, and I just flat out have not wanted to.
Yeah, and I understand that. I can understand why some people don't want to read this book. And the reasons you gave me were, I don't like self-help books. I don't want to read
hoity-toity. And those are true. I don't. I really don't like self-help books. I don't like this kind of book. I don't like the book of you need to do X in order to achieve Y. Because everyone's different. Everyone's situations are different. And I don't believe mm-hmm. that's true. I believe in giving people the tools. So I don't know. There's kind of a theme in my videos, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and nobody's ever pointed it out to me, so I don't know if anybody has ever really noticed this. I don't tell anyone how to use something. I don't tell anyone this is the way you must do this in order to be productive or in order to get your project done. I like to approach it as, these are the tools to do your work. This is a tool that is available, like a hammer or a screwdriver. This is a tool that is available. This is what I like about this tool. This is what I don't like about this tool. Feel free to use this tool if you want to. And getting things done, the whole approach to me felt very much like the only proper way, and I think he kind of says something like this, the only way to get something to actually be productive is to do this. And I don't agree with that. And I kind of had a hard time with it. I think I just, like, from the beginning, because we read the 2015 version, so there's a, what is it called in a book? Prologue, where he talks about how he's moving to Europe to get away. And I'm just like, I'm just rolling my eyes from the get-go. And right, I think that was a really, it was hard for me. And he keeps talking about how his company helps all these big C-level CEOs and stuff like that. And I think I honestly just had a really hard time getting past that. I don't know. I just had a hard time with it. I think there's a lot of great stuff that I got out of it. I reorganized my task manager. I'm kind of happy with how it is. Every morning I sit down now and I look to see what's in my task manager, what I can accomplish that day. And just kind of see what's happening, what's kind of on the horizon. I have, like, the nice thing about things is you can build different areas. So I have like a next actions area with the stuff that I already talked about. Then I have like a life area with like my shopping list and like what I want to do for my vacation. I have like vacation plans in there because I'm not really even worried about that right now. I'm just like putting ideas in there. Then I have like a projects ideas area where video ideas go, blog post ideas go, and podcast topics go. I don't think it's for everybody, but I probably didn't give it a fair shake. And I'm kind of regretting that now, but at the same time, I don't know if it'll ever be for me.
Okay. And that's totally fair. Like, I'm not saying that GTD is for everyone. And maybe I kind of, like, for lack of a better analogy, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid with this pretty heavily.
I'm very anti-establishment. When I see a bunch of people drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm like, no, I'm gonna go drink the whiskey. Like,
yeah, I get that. I totally understand that. And maybe this is just because, like, I have felt disorganized and I just don't have my ability to manage my time and to manage things I need to do well enough on my own in the system that I was using for years before I read this book, and started like really getting into GTD. Like, I was using those tools like OmniFocus and things and things like that. But as we said before, the tools aren't what matter. It's the way you use those tools, you know. Yes. Like, and like, this book allowed me to kind of have a definition of how I'm going to use these tools in a way that makes sense for me. And you know, aside from the business speak of things, some of the fluffier stuff that David Allen throws into this book, the main thing about this book that I enjoyed was part two. Like, this book is broken up into three parts. Part one is like an introduction into the system. Mm-hmm. Part two is how you really use this system and like breaks down point by point by point and how you use this system.
Yes, that's the part I liked.
Honestly, like, if you just want what Chris was talking about and like a nuts and bolts kind of idea of how this thing works, you could skip part one and just read part two. And if you want, read part three, but you don't even need to read part three, really. Like, you can read this book and go straight to part two and be fine. Like,
yeah.
The very beginning of this book, David Allen's like, this book is something that you can open up at any page and get something out of it. Like, you don't have to read cover to cover.
Part two is the medium post. Like, if we're, it's the medium post of how to do it. And that's the part that I found interesting. That's the part I wanted it to be longer on. Part three was when I kind of started to tune out. Part one was kind of hard getting through too. Like, it was not, but part two is where it gets really interesting. My big thing though is he talks a lot about capturing projects or capturing tasks and organizing and reviewing, but he doesn't focus on. Actually, well, I guess he does. I guess he focuses on doing tasks and stuff like that. But he talks a lot about contacts. And Dubai Friday beat me to this point. I don't remember who on there who said it. But contacts is almost an outdated idea now that now that we have mobile computing, now that we work from iPads and phones and all this stuff, I could work on a video project from my day job. In fact, I often do. During my lunch break, I often work on video projects or edit this podcast or something like that. So, like, the idea of context, I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of built that in my own task manager. I have a shopping list. I'm not going to really open that up when I'm, you know, getting my car washed. I'm going to open that up when I'm at the grocery store. So I guess it's kind of there. But at the same time, I think that part could almost use an update, because I don't have to. I can work on my day job stuff while I'm at home. Like, I don't have to be physically at that building. I think physical locations are something that kind of, the idea behind that's kind of going away.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I think that's why OmniFocus finally caved. And, like, OmniFocus has been like a GCD application from, like, day one. Like, it even started as a GCD thing in Omni Outliner as a thing called Kinkless GTD. And eventually the Omni Group people decided to make its own app. And it had Getting Things Done built right into it, of like everything that's in this app is basically built around GTD. And for the longest time, they had contexts, but you can only have one context per item or per project or however you wanted to organize it. And that was something that was a point of contention for a lot of people. And they were really worried. They were really, like, adamant at the fact, like, you only need one context. And eventually they finally did cave. And I think it's because of this idea of the fact that contexts have kind of lost its place as far as location. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to write this down and use this as a point to talk to with our guest, because our guest goes in depth about contexts and their kind of workflow and how they do things and some of the things that they've talked about on online, that context is more than just like you need to be at this place. You can also use it for specific items, for specific tech, for specific tools, for specific modes of energy, for different areas of life that don't necessarily have to deal with a location or a specific thing that you need or what have you. Like, there's so many different ways you can deal with context, and I am of the opinion that, like, that is how you should do things. Like, when OmniFocus added tags, I was all in. I was so excited to finally be able to use tags, because not only do I have specific items of tech that I need to use, like, if I need to edit a podcast, I use my Mac still to edit podcasts. And I use that context or that tag, whatever nomenclature you want to use, I use those to specifically organize things that I want to do. And I use them as well as for modes of energy or time or specific places that I need to be or specific modes in my head that I want to be in. Like, if I'm doing stuff for Tablet Habit, like, if I do what you do, Chris, and spend time and schedule a day to be like, this is my Tablet Habit day, and I want to do things only for Tablet Habit, I will look at the context in which that has to do with that mode in my mind, which is just a context or a tag called Tablet Habit. Mm-hmm. And I have this thing called a custom perspective, which basically only shows tags and things that follow these certain rules that I build. And Tablet Habit has one where I'm like, I just want to work on stuff for Tablet Habit. And I have all these different tasks and project ideas and blog post ideas and things that I have on this list that show up. And those are the only things that I see in my phone. And those are the only things that I focus on the entirety of the time. But yeah, no, like, from what you're saying about context and things that David Allen kind of mentions, context is kind of an outdated thing. But I would argue that things, the apps like Things and OmniFocus are kind of going away from that and allowing users to kind of expand more than what David Allen kind of brings up. And I think it's a good example of when GTD doesn't necessarily get everything right, and you kind of have to conform these ideas and this methodology to something that is more inclined for your life. And this is a great example of that.
We were kind of talking about doing tasks and stuff like that. Did you have any more you wanted to say on that before we moved on?
Yeah, I mean, mainly, like, my main point about just, like, the doing of the tasks is that the main point of this methodology isn't to, like, kind of set it and forget it, which is kind of what I thought GTD was first about, where you do all this legwork and then you have everything set and ready to go for you. It's a consistent thing that you have to work on. It has to be part of your life all the time. And that's kind of one thing that I failed to realize until I started using it and after reading this book. Like, when I started doing the work and things like that, like, I felt a lot better knowing that I had everything out of my brain into the system, because I did an extensive brain dump. I had like, I want to say like 200 items in my inbox after my brain dump, because I had all these different things that I wanted to do, and they weren't all related to my work or to Tablet Habit or to this blog post or to this podcast or to what, like there were things on there like cat litter, like do the cat litter, clean my closet area, clean my kitchen, like everything that came into my mind that I wanted to get done and do, I threw into my system and eventually clarified and organized it after that. But like everything poured out of my brain after a couple of hours of really sitting down and thinking about this. And even reading this book, like I had to pause the audiobook while I was reading this book and like write down these things that I wanted to get done and throw it into my in-basket and go to it later, because like I knew if I didn't write it down now, I would forget later. And something about this book allowed me to kind of just continually think about the things that I need to get done and just write them down, which is kind of hard for me to read this book because my mind kept wandering. But I think that's a normal thing. I think it happens all the time. But as far as like doing the tasks, like once you put in all this legwork and putting all of these things in there and clarifying and organizing it, you have to continually make sure that you are checking off the boxes of things that you do, deleting things that you don't do, and following this weekly review, which, you know, we might be going into next first. But doing the tasks, it shouldn't be something that you have to think about, because everything that you need to do, you've thought about and put into your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that's really important to me. That's one of the big things I got out of the book. And I was already trying to do that, but I wasn't doing small things. Like now all of my bills, when they're due, they're in my task manager, so I know when to pay them. A reminder to go check my mail, because I don't really get a lot of mail. And, you know, mailbox will overfill. And where my mailbox is, it's like a half a mile away from my apartment. Like, it's a good walk. So, like, I always forget to go check the mail and stuff like that. In fact, I don't think I've done it in a while. So like, I got a reoccurring task for that now. I probably need to up the reoccurring task. That was a big thing for me, is just putting all of those small tasks, like every 3 months, go get my prescription refilled, like, things like that seem like they're really obvious, but like just put it in there. And the worst thing you got to do is you'll just have to check it off a box or something. Like reoccurring tasks were never something I was super big on. I did it for like, I used the app Due for a little while and I put my bills in there, but I kind of got annoyed because I wasn't keeping it up to date. Like I had older bills in there and stuff like that. And I didn't do a very good job of managing that. Right. Now everything is in one app. All my calendar appointments are in Things. All my reoccurring tasks are in Things. All my little tasks are in Things. All my projects are in Things. So I have one place that manages my whole life. And I think that was a big thing for me, is keeping all of that stuff in one place.
Yeah, it's about having a trusted system, which is
exactly
harped on this book more than almost anything else.
Yes, and that is something I really did like, is it's very true of have a system that you absolutely trust, that is, you know, when you open it, it is up to date. It has everything that you need to do for you now.
Yeah.
One other thing that I wasn't really using before, but now I am, is the someday maybe list.
Okay.
And the idea behind this is that these are tasks that you would like to do someday, but they are not important enough to like do right now, or you're not going to do them right now, or you just don't need to do them right now.
Mm-hmm.
These can be things like plan a vacation or what's something on my list here? What's something you got, Jeff?
Go to Chicago. Courtney and I have been wanting to go to Chicago for quite a long time as like a vacation thing. It's in my someday maybe list.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah, and these are things that you're not necessarily needing to do right away, but like eventually someday you want to do them. I really wasn't taking advantage of that. That now that's something that is kind of just filled up with like little things that I want to do or I want to go buy. Like on my someday maybe list is, you know, get a new TV and nice sound system. That's like, it's not really like anything that needs to be done now or whenever, but like it's something I definitely want. I've always wanted a really nice like theater setup, but you know, whatever. I don't need to do that right now.
But it's something that you want to keep in your mind, or at least in your external brain, to continually remind you that this is something that you want to do. And you can, if you decide to, you can, it can be something that you work towards, whether it's buying, you know, saving up money and buying new speakers. That can go into your task management system of like, put $20 away every paycheck for this amount of time, then buy the speakers when you want to get them. You know what I mean? Like, like, it's not just a matter of like keeping them in there to like, to look at and wonder and hope that you get to do this one day. It's also a way for you to keep it in the forefront of your mind when you do your review, to think about anything that you can do for those things that you want to do. And it, whether it's a small thing or a big thing going towards that goal, you can, you have that there to kind of follow what you want to do with it and put it into your next action list or put it in your to-do item list and work towards it. And like, that's one thing about the Someday Maybe list that, that I think is very, very powerful.
Another thing too that I've kind of been doing as well is I have a reoccurring task that happens every morning at 6 a.m. And that's usually about what time I get home from the gym. Okay. And this will, it's a reminder.
When you get home from the gym at 6 a.m., what time do you wake up?
4:35.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm insane. I'm a morning person. I like to go to the gym early enough that nobody else is there and can see my awkward running.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so like usually by the time I get out of the shower and like all dressed and everything, that's about what time. So I come over and I open up my iPad and it's a reminder to just kind of look at my task manager. And the night, and I have a reoccurring task for the reason of I have to, I hit that reminder or I hit that notification and it just opens up things. So it's kind of nice that way. It's almost like a shortcut. And what I just kind of do is every day I look at the anytime view and things, and this will include stuff that is due today. It has a star next to it for if it's a task that's due today. Everything else that are in my project show up right here. This is pretty cool. I like this a lot just because I can kind of like briefly go through this and see, okay, this is what I need to do eventually. Like the star stuff, that's the stuff I need to do today. The rest of the stuff in my task manager, if I have time for it, great. I'm going to try and get to that today too. I'm going to try and knock as much stuff off my task manager as possible today. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my mentality into going into every day. And this is really what a review is. And this is what I kind of call my mini review that I do every single day. And then the big review, the thing that David Allen talks about a lot in the book, is that you pick a day. And I do Sunday just because it's the beginning of my week. It's kind of, you know, it's weekend. I don't work weekends, so I can kind of take like a nice breather on that day. And I sit down for a little while and I kind of go through every nook and cranny in my task manager. I put things in there if I haven't put stuff in there. Any project ideas, like I kind of figure out from my video ideas project list, my area for that. I move any projects that I want to work on for that week into the video projects folder or area. These terms get confusing. Anything I need to do for a slab of glass, stuff like that, that all goes in the next actions area. And this is kind of something I do during my weekly review. So I kind of like have an idea of how my week is going to go this way.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would argue that like one of the biggest reasons that you might get started with getting things done and then kind of fail early on is because you're not doing the weekly review. And the weekly review basically means going top to bottom of all the things on your list and kind of looking into them and asking yourself, like, why haven't I done this yet? Or what's the next action that I have to do with this thing if I had nothing but this to do on my task manager list? Like, the goal in what David Allen says with this is that you want to be able to look at every project, which by David Allen's definition is two or more items in a task list that are conjoined that you want to get done in a year.
Which I have complaints about that definition, but let's
which yeah. we can get into or you know, I understand where that complaint can come into, but the whole point of it is to really think about all the things you need to get done for these things. And if you look at something and you don't know what the next action is or you don't have a next action on there, the whole point of the weekly review is to write that next action down and think about what you need to do with it and things and like do that for everything in your list, which sounds tedious, but like for me, it helps me out for future me. Like current Jeff does these things in my weekly review So future Jeff doesn't have to worry about thinking about all these things and getting overwhelmed or deciding not to do it because he doesn't know what he wants, what has to be done with it. You know, like breaking these down into very bite-sized things that you can do allows me and allows others that follow this methodology to do the things that they need to get done to move this project forward and not let it just stay stalled. And if you do have a stalled project with a next action, like you have to really think about like what is the reason I haven't done this for? Is it because I can't do this thing right now? Then okay, fine. Then defer it out and do it later. Or if there's something more apparent of like why you haven't done this thing, like what's the reason that's stopping you? And like you have to kind of break that down. And sometimes you have to break down what you think is your next action into even smaller next actions. Like there's a good example I think Merlin Mann used of like getting the oil changed. Like you have a list, an item in there that says get oil changed. Okay, cool. So what's the next action with that? I don't know. I just have to go get the oil changed. No, what's really the next action with that? Like what? Why haven't you done that yet? Because it's like you've had this on your list for months. I think I have a coupon for that. Okay, can you find the coupon? No. Who has it? I think my wife knows where it is. So can you get in contact with your wife? Yeah, I can do that. So really the next action for the get your oil change is to call your wife about the coupon for the oil change. And then once you have that coupon, you go and get the oil change. I don't mean to steal that from Merlin Mann, but it's a perfect example of like why the weekly review is so powerful, because it kind of make or breaks your ability to use this system in a way that is meaningful. And it's one of the reasons that I've fallen off the wagon with this. But the beauty of it is that it's very easy to get back on the wagon. You just do a brain dump or you do a weekly review and actually do and think about all the things that need to get done. Like those are like that is like the beauty of this system is that it's really easy to get back on once you fall back off, which you probably will, because it's not necessarily easy to get this thing in motion. But once you do it, it becomes easier. You know, it's like a muscle. You have to kind of continually flex it and work it out in order for you to kind of fully get everything that you want out of it. You know, like is that making sense, or am I rambling?
No, you're good.
Save me here, Chris.
Okay. All right. No, you're good. So yeah, the idea of the weekly review is just go through everything, make sure that the next action in that, and to borrow the GTD term, project, really it's a task, but the next step in that task is accomplishable or completable or whatever the proper word is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if it's not, figure out what the proper step is next. Like you said, if it is getting a coupon, or like, hey, she doesn't have the coupon anymore, go online and print out a new coupon. I like the structure and the thinking behind that. And I've been doing that a lot more with things. I've been using the checklist feature in things. So that's kind of like my problem with the term project isn't going to go get your oil change. That's not a project. That's a task. That's something you need to go and complete. And to me, that's a task. And in that task, there may be a checklist of items. That's why I really like things as terminology, because that to me doesn't that make a little more sense? Like you have a checklist of items you need to do to complete this task.
Yeah, but you could also argue that like because you have all these tasks, that it becomes a project. Like just because I think that you're getting hung up on the terms.
Oh, probably.
When in reality, you're calling an apple a potato. Like it doesn't matter what you call it, you know. Like as long as you have an understanding of what exactly it is you need to do to have the next actions next. Like once you have the next actions for the things that you want to get done, you can call it a task, you can call it a project, you can call it a to-do item, you can call it a pancake for all I care. Like whatever you want to call it whatever you want, but you need to have all those components in there in order for you to actually do the things that you want to get done. If you want to make those pancakes happen, you gotta have all the things that you need to have done to finish those pancakes, Chris.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the book again. I'm going to read the book again this week. We're recording, so right now it's Sunday the 30th. We are going to record Saturday, whatever day that is, with our special guest. So I am going to read the book again, and I will report back to see if I have a change of heart.
Can I give you an out, an easy out?
Sure.
Just read part two. Don't read part one again.
Yeah, that was my plan. That was actually kind of secretly my plan, was I was just only going to read part two.
Okay.
Because that was the only, to me, that's the only part with substance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could skip the first third and not really miss a whole heck of a lot. Like, I argue that if you're reading this book for the first time, read chapter one.
I would read the whole thing for the first time because I think it references stuff back and forth that could be helpful. But if you kind of have the basic idea of what GTD is, and hopefully we explained it, I honestly don't know if we did. This book came at a very interesting time right now without getting too into the weeds about it, but I have been very much inundated by email, by just a lot of stuff to deal with, a lot of messages and a lot of stuff that have just been going on. And I had to take about 3 hours yesterday to go through my email, and I've never had that much email in my life. It got so bad this last week, Jeff, that I just stopped looking at my email.
Oh, jeez. That's not going to help anyone. That's like when the fire is going on in the shed, you don't even have to worry about it because you haven't seen it yet. Like, that's not what you do. You break it down. You have to do it. You have to either make time for it, break down these tasks, throw it into your inbox system. You got to do something with it, man. Like, you can't just not look at the burning fire that is your shed. Like, this is important.
I've never had anything like that happen, and it was just so overwhelming. I couldn't deal with it. I just froze.
Right.
And the only way I knew how to deal with it at the time was just not look at it and hope it goes away. Well, apparently it didn't. So yesterday I sat down, I spent about 3 hours just going through and doing answering as much as possible. And if you sent me an email and I haven't responded to you, I'm so sorry. I apologize. It's just been insane. Hopefully I can kind of, like, that's kind of my next system. Like, the way I'm looking at it is I'm kind of at a place with my task manager that I feel pretty good. My task manager, my calendar, how I organize projects and lists and whatever. I feel pretty good about that. I also feel pretty good about the way I take notes. The next thing I need to cover, and I really don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to suggest we talk about it, even though I don't want to talk about it, is email. Like, I so hate dealing with email so very much because it's difficult. I switched in my videos to tell people, you know, hey, just tweet at me, because it's a lot easier for me to respond because there's that character limit. And not that I don't appreciate anybody's feedback or anything like that, but it's hard when you get. I want to cut this whole part. This makes me sound like a douchebag.
No, we're absolutely keeping this. Continue.
It's hard. Tweeting a tweet is nice because there's a character limit. So you get to the meat of the cruft, like you get to the issue and you solve it, and that's great. An email, you can get essay long emails, and, you know, really you just need 3 sentences out of those emails. I was told I had a job, and I was told that somebody thought I was being really rude to them because they were writing really long emails, and I would respond back with 2 sentences. But here's the thing. They really only ever needed to send 2 sentences, but they were sending 4 paragraphs worth of content, and I didn't need that. And I figured, my time is valuable, your time is valuable, so let's break this down. Let's make this as simple and as easy as possible. It may seem not very personable, and I really don't want to keep this part in because it doesn't sound very nice at all, and I'm not trying to be a horrible person.
I am not letting you cut this stuff out. I will get the re-listener, and if this isn't in the episode, I'm going to be very, very upset with you.
Please know I'm not a horrible person.
I think you need to stop thinking of yourself as a horrible person with this, because you're not. Like, this is a problem that people have. This is something that people deal with, especially people that are you know, a personality on the internet. And this is something that when you ask people to give you input and you ask them to get in touch with you and email you, I have those in my blog post. I don't get nearly as many emails as you do, but I still get emails every once in a while. And there are times where I do also feel overwhelmed with this. You're not alone in this category. Email sucks for everyone. Like you have to kind of like, you have to remember that. But on top of that, like, I think this is such a good topic that I really want to just end on this note of like, just a slight taste. And we talk about this next, a future episode, whether it's with our guest next episode or the episode after that. Like, I think that this is something that's so important and so big and so cumbersome that we need to continue to talk about this later on. But I have some ideas and some thoughts for you before we kind of let this go. Go ahead.
I don't want to. I'm going to put a disclaimer right here. I read every single email that comes in, and I try and respond to every single one of them.
Yeah, I was never assuming that you didn't.
But just like everyone else, I have good days and I have bad days, and there are just some days that I just cannot respond to email. And I do appreciate every single person's feedback. I also have a day job where I get a ton of email too. So the last thing anyone ever, I don't think I've ever met anyone that wants to spend all day responding to email and then come home and respond to more email. I think everyone hates email. And you know, it would be pretty easy to make email okay, not good, but okay, by putting character limits and time limits. Like you respond to an email, but that email doesn't actually show up until 12 hours later. Like there's a buffer. Like email is snail mail. That would make email better, I think. I don't know. I want to cut this part so badly. I shouldn't have said anything.
No way.
I'm not a horrible person. Please, no, I'm not. I don't know. Anyways, I think GTD, it's interesting. If you're interested and like you just feel overwhelmed with tasks, I think this was the other thing too, is I really wasn't overwhelmed by my task manager. I just don't think I was managing it as well as I possibly could. I think that was another reason why I think this didn't really fit for me, that this is really meant for somebody that you're so overwhelmed that you can't, like, you don't know up from down.
And we'll talk more about this with our guest next episode. But for me, getting things done allowed me to kind of form a system in place that allowed me to do the things that I wanted to do, but also not let the other things that I want to do in the future or things that I have to do that I don't necessarily want to do fall through the cracks. And that was something that I've been missing for a while. There are things that, like, big things that fell through the cracks that were detrimental, whether in my personal life or my professional life. Mm-hmm. And having a system that kind of allows me not to have to worry about those kind of things is very refreshing and something that I enjoy. And reading this book allowed me to kind of hone in on the things that I am good at when it comes to my task management system, the things I need to work on. One of them is the weekly review. Another one of them is to consistently look at my task manager list, because no matter how many things that you organize and do in this task manager list, if you're not looking at it regularly, whether it's in your downtime at a bank or in the morning when you get ready for your day, if you're not looking at this task management system, things are going to fall through the cracks regardless, because even though you have this external brain, if you're not using it, you're kind of losing it, you know? Like, it's exactly what's happening.
Yep, I completely agree. I'm going to read the book again. I'm going to read part two again.
Okay.
And we'll see if I get more out of it.
And I think next episode with our guest would be another good reason for someone that hasn't read the book yet that did somehow listen to throughout all this episode, even though that we said, you know, you probably should read this book in order to kind of understand this. I think if you haven't read the book yet, you should, because next episode is going to be really, really, really good if you kind of know what we're talking about and the things that we mentioned here, and have it all make sense. Just read the book and see what you think about it. And you know, next episode we will have a very special guest. I don't want to name them yet because I want this to be as much a surprise as possible. So if you have guesses, let's do that. If you have guesses of who you think the guest is going to be, you can tweet at us at A Slab of Glass on Twitter, or you can tweet us individually. So if people wanted to let their guesses know what they were, Chris, how would they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at Chris_Lolly. You can also find all my work at theuntitledside.com. It has links to all my YouTube channel stuff and Instagram fun stuff there. If you're interested in shortcuts videos, how shortcuts works, all that fun stuff, there are a bunch of videos on my site. You can also go to the YouTube channel right there and subscribe right there. Jeff, where can people find you?
You can find me over at tablethabit.com or at I am Jeff Perry on Twitter. And if you want to email me, like if you want to email me instead of Chris about something that's on this show, you can email me at jeff@tablethabit.com. You can email me there, ask any questions that you have, anything that you want to talk about, any suggestions for possible show topics later on. Like, I would love to hear what you guys have to say, what you want to have on the show in the future. So email me, don't email Chris.
I'm so sorry. I'm not a horrible person.
No,
I just have too much to deal with.
here's the thing. I want your problem right now. I want to get more email, and I want to hear more from our listeners and fans and people that are of similar interests as ours, and kind of hear their thoughts either on this episode, on past episodes, on future episode ideas that they have, or if they just want to say hi and have a question about an app or something that they specifically want to talk to me about, feel free. Email me, jeff@tablethabit.com.
Feel free to get in touch with me on Twitter @Chris_Lolly. Have a great day.